Well, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there, and we're so thankful that you've joined us today, and this is a good morning as we start our series called Functional Family, which there's so much dysfunction out there as families that it's nice to be able to breathe life into families and say you can find some functionality, even though maybe there is some dysfunction, but we can make a change in our households today by making a change in our own lives. And this is my wife, Kelly, by the way. I'm Matt, and she's, yeah. It's not like I forgot you were up here at all. I didn't forget. I'm like nervous for her. I don't know. Like, I get nervous, but I'm like a little bit extra on edge today about it. And I know you did an amazing job for service, and you got only three more to go. So don't worry about it. You can find out why I'm so tired on Sundays. But you know, Proverbs has what's called the Proverbs 31 woman. You hear that all the time, and I know, ladies. There's like, I almost hear your eyes roll right now. Because you're like, oh, geez, here we go. No, we're not talking about it. But I do want to say this is a Proverbs 31 woman. And, you know, the reason why I'm able to put so much energy into the church is because she takes so much energy at home off of my plate. And she does such an amazing job on it and makes it look so effortless. And there is a line in that proverb that says, beauty is fleeting, charm is deceptive. And that, you know, you hear a lot of times preachers and other people say, well, you know, guys, you need to look beyond the skin and into the heart and find the love in the heart first. And men are like, yeah, right. Okay, we're visual. We're going to find beauty on the surface first, okay? Like, you know, you don't go, she's hard to look at, but I love her. It's not the way that rolls. It doesn't happen that way. Like, she's good to look at. I think I can put up with her. That's the way it rolls, okay? We all know that's the way it happens. And so, but what that proverb is really getting at is to say, listen, it's not that as we age, we find ourselves not seeing the beauty in our wife. We find beauty in our spouse as they age. I think my wife gets more beautiful as she matures. And it's because you're now adjusting it with not just the looks, but with the heart. And you're like, oh my gosh, man, she's even far more attractive than she ever was before. Because it's not just I'm attracted visually, I am. I'm also attracted to that heart. And it's like that stuff is, you're going to see past it, men. You're eventually going to come to love your wife in such a way you're going to see past that beauty, and you're going to realize, whoa, there's so much more beauty to this woman that I have asked to be my bride. I don't know where I was going with that. It was just, I know it's not in the notes, and that's going to worry you, and that's a lot of the way I work, so... She's like, that's not on the calendar either. I'm like, okay, I get it. I understand this is my life. This is in the notes, Proverbs chapter 22. Let's start here because this has a what we often think is a guarantee, but it's not a guarantee. It's kind of like, hey, if you do this more times than not, this will be your situation. Start your children off the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. And let us put that into the practice of faith. And we have men and women here that are excited about that. We have men and women here that get very disappointed by that verse because the disappointed ones say, I raised my kids in the church. I was a godly example. My husband and I have been faithful through the years, and we have pointed them towards God, exemplified Christ, and my kids have not found faith in Jesus, or they abandoned faith in Jesus. Listen, this is not a guarantee. That proverb is not a guarantee. It's also not something that's always applied to faith. It is something, though, that parents, we need to be shooting for, that it is our lifestyle and the guidance of our parenting to position our kids so that as they grow up to make their own decisions, that they will make the decision to follow Jesus Christ and to lean on God and raise godly children just as you have as well. And we want to talk about a mother today that's only mentioned twice in the scriptures. Her name's Jochebed. And you're like, who? Right. That's Moses' mother. And you guys know Moses. He's mentioned like 800 times in the scriptures. And so much is based on Moses. And there's so much attached to Moses as a patriarch of the faith. And you know, Judaism leans hard on Moses. Christianity leans hard on Moses. And he's this guy that just raised in this chaotic culture of the Egyptian culture and yet was able to stay strong towards the Lord. Mom did something right. Not only did mom do something right, she had some kids too that did some right things beyond Moses. And you know, it says that behind every great man is a great woman rolling her eyes. And that was had to be Jochebed. I mean, Moses got all the accolades, but Jochebed did all the work.
Got that eye roll down pretty good.
Oh, that's not right.
Oh, in our household, we have four young men. Three of our biological boys are in high school now. They're 17 and 15. We'll spare them of any stories for Mother's Day today because they're in that
embarrassing time.
Yeah, where they don't like that. Our youngest is six. He's just finishing kindergarten, and we got the joy of adopting him 2 years ago this July.
Even though the judge looked at him and said, "Can I talk you out of this?"
He
no, that's not
that.
A joke.
Yes, he did. We're in Exodus 2. Exodus 2, and we're about to dive into that. But as a mom, as I read that, I hear the scriptures building up for us a woman who is courageous, a woman who has great trust and unwavering faith and sacrifice. I can't imagine the feelings for hiding for 3 months, then trusting the Lord that after those 3 months, it was time to put Moses in a basket and allow him to actually float into danger, right towards the Egyptians. And then the joy of being allowed by Pharaoh's daughter to wean her own son, only then just to sacrifice him back over to her and just a few years after that. And the sacrifice that Jochebed had towards the Lord is immeasurable in my eyes. And I think she's one for us to really study and to learn from. The scriptures show us that she had a very short time with her son Moses. But with the legacy she left, we can tell that she spent those moments with him wisely and intentionally.
Yeah, and I think to a great extent, the factor of a mother is found in the legacy of the kids. And, you know, if you look at the kids, you're like, oh, mom did a good job with them. And with Jochebed, mom did a good job with them. Like, we know of three of her kids, Moses, who is this incredible figure in the faith. And you might know Aaron. Aaron was the high priest of Israel. And I know God appointed him, but God was looking at the righteousness of his heart, so Jochebed must have positioned Aaron to be a man who loved God and went against the culture of his time to stand strong in a bow-down world. And then there's Miriam, who was a worship leader, like the very first worship leader of Israel. And you know, God points women to ministry in that way. And so they cross the Red Sea, and Miriam's like, you know, guys, what we need to do right now, we need to worship, and we need to praise God for the great things and the mighty things he's done. And that legacy of Jochebed, even though she's mentioned twice, the legacy is found in her kids all throughout the scriptures.
And Moses' mother knew where her identity lied, for sure. Josh Brown did a really great job last week as he spoke on identity. And
calling out Josh. She's like, yay, Josh. I don't get the call-outs.
Did a great job. Good.
I get, that was nice, Matt, but you probably should have. No, she does not. She does not. She doesn't do that. My kids do that.
No. Yeah, they do. But as I sit here today and we read about Moses' mom, I think about that identity again that he spoke so well on last week. And I'm thankful that the writers chose to place Jochebed's name in this scripture because her name means Jehovah is her glory. How cool would that be?
Yeah.
Like Matt said, she's only mentioned a few times in the Bible. But and how easy it is for us as moms to get lost in who we are and what our purpose is. But if we look into the scriptures and outside of ourselves, we can see God has given us a great purpose, and that can ripple out into generation after generation.
So today what we want to do is just encourage you in some simple ways by just reminding mothers and parents of three things we can do to be intentional with our kids. And the first one is to be constant encouragers to our children. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know that's not easy, and I know, you know, every parent looks at their kid like, oh, my kid's so special. And, you know, it says that Mary treasured all these things up in her heart when it came to Jesus. And in Exodus chapter 2, verse 2, it simply says this about Jochebed. It says, Jochebed saw that Moses was a fine child. I think every parent does that, right? I think every mom says, I got a good kid here. This is a good one. And I love them, and they're special to me, and I know that. And sometimes, though, as parents, we just kind of internalize that, and we don't vocalize that. And if we were to vocalize it and put it out there, our kids will know that we believe that they're special to us and that we want to encourage them. And sometimes the internalizing needs to be vocalized. Not sometimes, all the time. Our children need to hear, you know, from us loud and clear how precious they are to us, how dear they are to us, how we want to protect them, how we want to set them up in life for better things than just the temporal things of success. We want to set them up for to follow after Jesus and to be men and women who are godly. We challenge men all the time that, you know, men, listen, God has I don't know why, but God has decided that men are going to become the spiritual leaders of their household. And they're given that authority, but here's the other thing that we don't like. We're given a responsibility. And the authority and responsibility go hand to hand. I'm not going to give you a lecture today, men. We're going to become greater men of faith on Father's Day. Join us for that, man. There's a challenge. Today's Mother's Day, right? Yeah, okay. Go get your muffins and let's have a great Mother's Day. But there's this, you know, women, we want to challenge you today, we really do, to become the spiritual encouragers of your home. Men, you're to be the spiritual leaders, but moms, step up to be the spiritual encourager. Men don't always do that well. And it's not necessarily the pride of their hearts, just men just don't always do that well. We don't see the world the same way, and we need the helpmate of a spouse to direct us in those ways and to speak life into these kids. Her way of encouraging our children is far different than mine. I mean, she does it with love and tenderness. I'm like, if you don't do it, I'm going to kill you, okay? Like, that's the encouragement. Sometimes it works. And I understand, guys, more than anything. Like, I deal with more anger in a day than some of you guys deal with a year, okay? And I understand how hard it is to be positive in all situations and try to be encouraging in all situations and bringing affirmation. Not that you affirm what they're doing even when it's bad, but just to be, you know, the father or the mother that tries to set them on the right course through positive direction rather than negative. It's so hard to do. But the Bible says we can do it in 1 Thessalonians. It says this, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you're doing. We can do this. We can encourage each other. But I love this phrase, build each other up. That has to do with getting back to the frame, or rather not the frame, that has to do with getting back to the foundation of life. So that phrase is about foundational work, just like a builder would start building on a foundation. You're going to get back to the foundations. And I know there's some parents who are like, I haven't always been encouraging. It doesn't matter. You can get back to the foundations of life again and get back to rebuilding something on the foundation of your kids and start speaking words of affirmation and encouragement to them. And it doesn't matter where they're at. It doesn't matter how old they are. Truett Cathy, who is, or was rather, the founder and CEO of Chick-fil-A, he says, do you know when someone needs encouragement? And I heard this in a conference, and everybody's like, oh, when they're down, when they feel lost in life. He's like, no, when they're breathing, okay? Like, everybody needs encouragement. It doesn't matter what stage of life they're in. And so, moms, you have an impactful way to speak life into your kids. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, words can bring death or life. Parents, we know, right? Words can be death or life. Children, we know. Words can bring death to their life. We've had our parents probably say some things that we'll never forget, and they probably saw it as a flippant comment, and it just, pow, landed in our heart. And it goes on to say, talk too much, and you'll eat everything you say, and you'll stick your foot in your mouth. Is, you know, I do that a lot. You guys probably think I talk all the time at home, and I don't. And that's what's funny, right? They're like, he's probably an extrovert. They have no idea of my introvert styles. But, you know, the Bible talks about just, you know, being able to speak life into kids and speak life into others. And the tongue has no bones, and yet it's one of the strongest parts of our body in the sense of it bringing life and death. And, you know, there's funny things that my mom has always done. Like, who can hand you a Kleenex and say, blow your nose, like demand it, but a mother, right? Who can do that? You know, my mom seemed to have like something in her saliva that was different than my dad's. My dad never once licked his thumb and pressed it against my face to wipe something off. She had like 409 solution in that thing with like 220 grit on her thumb, right? It's like, mom, what is going on here? How rough are those thumbs? You need to do something with those things. Only mom, I remember the moment, oh my gosh, we were like in Nordstrom's or something, and I coming out of the dressing room, you know, I'm like in high school, and she's like, let me see those pants on you. And you get there, and you like, do you have to do the full like presentation? And only my mother could say, Matt, those are no good. It looks like there's too much room in the crotch. If that doesn't like absolutely wound you as a man, that's my mother. This is why I am. Oh, man. Okay. No. You're not going to, you won't recover. So let me just kind of bring it down. You're not going to recover from that. Look, there's funny things only moms can get away with. We know that, right? But there's some things that, you know, your mom has said some things maybe flippantly and it's landed wrong. And, you know, maybe it's something where it was like, don't eat that. It's just going to make you heavier. And, you know, it's boom, landed. is, you know, or, you know, maybe it's just something about the way you dress or now the way that you raise your kids. I think every parent has had their parent say something about their parenting. And you're like, okay, leave me be. Just let me figure this out too. And those words wound and they hurt sometimes. And while there's funny moments of our moms and dads, there's also moments where they're not so funny. And we kind of look back and we have a bit of disdain towards maybe mom or dad on that.
We want this to be a great day. We want this to just be a day where you can wear a smile. And we know that not everyone's had that mother that had that positive affirmation in their life. And I bring this up for you today just so that you can listen to what God has to say to you. Today you might be reminded of that struggle or that hurt or that negative thing that was said to you, but be the person you wanted your mother to be. And to learn forgiveness and release those past hurts, because it's really hurting you and the relationship that you can have with the people around you. God has a role for your mom, and she may not have lived up to it, but don't hold her or yourself hostage by having that unforgiving heart, for sure. Some of you are punishing yourselves for something that wasn't really your fault. We want you to breathe life into your children is what we want. Most of us could say that our mom gave us words of meaningful and thoughtful encouragement, like you're just getting prettier every day, or you're going to make a great dad someday. I can't wait to see that. All of these things. Moses' parents are celebrated with the heroes of the faith for the way they raised their son.
Yeah, if you look at the New Testament book of Hebrews, it's called sometimes the chapter or the biblical hall of fame, chapter 11 of Hebrews. Moses' mom and dad made the Hall of Fame, which I think is awesome. They didn't make it by name, but they made the Hall of Fame. Listen to this. It says, by faith, Moses' parents. This is a Moses' parents story, not a Moses story. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born. You guys know that there was a genocide happening in Egypt, and under Egyptian captivity, the Israelites were now kind of mass populating the area. The Egyptians got scared and said, we need to stop this because there's going to be more Israelites than there are going to be of us. So let's have every child thrown into the Nile River and killed. And there was an act of genocide. And Moses' mom and dad, Jochebed, decided, I ain't doing that. That's not who my God is. My God's for life. And decides to spare her child. And it says, because they saw he was no ordinary child. I don't know how they did that. There was an SAT test at 3 months old. So it's like, I don't know, like he's, maybe it's just looking good. I always say about our kids, I'm like, they're proportionate. That's good. They're proportionate. But they recognize something. And maybe it's only a thing that moms are in tune with. When they look at their kid, they're like, dude, this is a special kid. And the man's never going to get it, but I got it. And it says that they were not afraid of the king's edict. They weren't afraid of the government. They were more afraid of God. They wanted to do God's rules and God's laws and do it God's way. And maybe there was some kind of spiritual intuition that Jochebed had as she looked at Moses and said, he's going to do something incredible, and I'm not going to do what the king's edict of Egypt wants me to do. I'm going to spare this kid, and I'm going to float him down. What a courageous act of faith, right? Float him down the river and like put him in God's hands. That's not helicopter parenting. It's like, let's just put him in God's hands. And I just, you know, just the amount of encouragement that is could come from that is amazing. And I just want to kind of add on to what you say to your kids, especially in the evening time when they're paying attention, is huge. Like, you know, we'd come around our kids' bedside, and William, our oldest, his name means God's mighty warrior. And we'd always say, like, yeah, you're going to be an incredible leader someday. You know, William has a propensity of leadership to either be Adolf Hitler or Billy Graham, one or the other. We don't know which. And we're steering them towards Billy Graham, of course. But I remember my mom coming to me and saying, Matthew, your name means gift of God, and you're a gift of God to me, and you're going to be a gift of God to others. And that sticks. Yeah. That sticks.
Yeah. She's a great mom. A courageous... Oh, do you want me to read that?
Sure.
Okay. We want you to intentionally guide your children towards God. When Moses was born in Egypt, it wasn't a good time, as we mentioned, to be an Israelite. They were slaves, and they were people multiplying so greatly that Pharaoh wanted this to happen to these children. So Exodus 2, verse 2 says, when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. And what a courageous act of love from a mother, isn't it? She not only put her son's life at risk, she put her own life at risk and everyone in that household to hide and to go against law at that time when she hides Moses. And when we find out later, as Moses gets older, Jochebed also has to trust God with her child's future as well. And then in Exodus chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, says, "Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe. And after her attendants were walking along the riverbank, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slaves to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' 'Yes, go,' she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother."
You know what's incredible about that story is that Jochebed gets reintroduced to Moses, even though she's like, "Listen, I got to put this in God's hands now." She probably thought in her head, "I'll never see this kid again." And yet, look how God works in his providence. Like, that's not coincidence that when Pharaoh's daughter sees Moses in the river and says, "Listen, I'm not fit to raise this kid. We need to go find a Hebrew mother." They go and find specifically Jochebed to come back, and she gets to raise him. Now, think how incredible this is, because he's now in a culture that is not a godly culture. It's not a God that worships the God of heaven and earth. It's a God that worships the sun, Ra. And so, you know, Moses is learning the religion of the Egyptians. He's learning how to talk like an Egyptian. He's learning how to look like an Egyptian. He's learning how to walk like an Egyptian. And, dude, I use it all the time when I talk about Moses. It always wins. You just go with the hits. Just play the hits. Jeff, play the hits. That's right. And so here's this, he's involved in this corrupt, godless culture. And who gets to steer him towards God? Mama. So like, mom's constantly going, "Yeah, I know what the Egyptians are telling you, but let me tell you what God has to say. I know what the Egyptians are trying to say to you, but let me tell you what God says is a new standard for your existence." And, you know, one of the ways, you know, moms, you can start to do this kind of, "I know my kids are in culture, but when they come home, I'm going to redirect them," is make Sunday mornings an important part of your housely habits. In a couple weeks, we're going to hear from Tyler Perry. He's going to talk about habits of the home and how we can start doing this better. But moms, direct your kids to church. You know, like, this is a, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord kind of a thing. And I don't want you to think like this because of religiosity or ritualism, like we got to be in church. This is about relationship. And every Sunday is a grounding for me. It's like, get back to what matters most. That's Sunday. Get back to what's most important in your life. That's Sunday. And every other day, man, it just is run. And then Sunday, man, if your Sunday's not different, something's wrong. Because Sunday is different for us. And it feels different. And our kids just say sometimes, like, they'd say, "Man, we don't like Sundays." And it wasn't church. It was like, "We don't do anything." I'm like, "Right on. That's awesome." Like, we don't do anything. We go to church and we hang out as a family. This is good. Make that a priority. I remember the times when we would go to church as kids. My brother and I would get in the backseat of the car. My dad, you know, would just drive home. He wouldn't say a lot about church. And godly man, but just wouldn't say a lot. And my mom would always be inquisitive, you know, like, she'd be like, what, "Tell me what those popsicle sticks with that cotton is, with those coloring drawings on the page are supposed to be about." And we, you know, we'd come up with some answer. "Oh, this is David and Goliath." And she'd talk about David and Goliath. She'd expand on it. And she'd ask us what our, you know, teacher said. And then she'd always say, "I believe that."
And now we have teenagers. We try to do the same things. We did that when they were younger, for sure. But now, besides coming on Sunday morning, our kids know that they go to youth group on Sunday night, just to be reintroduced to the Word again, and a great, great mentor and leader in Noah, and then the friendships that they build at youth group are great. But when they come back in, now they're able to drive back and forth. I don't have that mom time where you get all that information in the car. That's my favorite time when kids are little. But
you
now,
look at it as information. I look at it as interrogation.
Oh, no, it's the best. Moms know what I'm talking about. It's the best. But yeah, so now we try to intentionally be around when they walk in that door to say, "Hey, you know, how was youth group tonight? Who spoke? What was the lesson on?" Sometimes we'll get just a real answer. But we have three teenagers, so usually one of them is at least going to sit down and tell us a little bit more what they learned and just kind of how they can apply it and things. It turns out really well.
Yeah, and let me go back to just, you know, how you can guide your kids towards God, not only just on the church side. Here's a simple one. Praying with your kids. Praying with your kids. Not, and just not on before bed time, and which I hope you do. I mean, that's a simple way. And I mean, as they get older, it's going to be increasingly hard. But, you know, moms of adult kids, listen, they're going to come to you and they're going to say, hey, this is not right in my life right now. How about you just say, can we stop and pray? Can I pray for you as your mother? Can I pray for you on the phone real quick about this? It doesn't have to be a long, expressive prayer. Just, can I pray for you right now? That would mean all the difference in the world. I know when our kids have like anxieties or things, or they're going through some stuff at school or sports or whatever, Kelly will be, you know, praying with them in the kitchen and stuff. And yeah, it's just one of those things that I think a mother has an intuition to do. And I think as kids, it's so easy to say, yeah, mom, pray for me, than it is more maybe even for dad. There might be that pride in their heart towards maybe a dad stepping in to do that. But I think it's both, but I think mothers can get away with it much easier. Mm-hmm. Oh, you want me to say that?
You want to.
Okay. It's our first time doing this together. In my mom's house, there's this little plaque that says these words. It says, good parents give their children roots and wings, roots to know where home is and wings to fly off and to practice what's been taught to them. And I've heard that the goal of a parent is to raise your kids, to release your kids. Raise them to release them. Like, you know, sooner or later, you got to release them out. And Jochebed knew she had to release him. Now, she didn't think it was in that 3-month period of time, but she raised him in a godless culture to release him into a godless culture. And he became a man of faith that steered a culture back to God.
Mm-hmm. Moses' mom definitely had a sense of urgency in her teaching and all that, in the time that she had to lead him towards God. And from the beginning, she is intentional for sure about guiding him spiritually. In the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy 6, there it says this about the importance of spiritually guiding your kids with intention. And it says in verse 6, these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
You know who wrote those words? It's Moses himself. And he's saying, hey, use everything in your day to guide your kids towards God. Use everything in your day to guide your kids towards God. It makes me wonder, though I'm not certain, if this is something that he learned from his mama. Like, she raised him to release him, and she's like, Moses, I wrote down scripture on the doorposts. I bound them around you. I did everything I could to remind you of God's word in your life because you're heading out into a godless culture. And it makes me wonder if Moses was like, listen, that was good advice my mama gave me. That was good advice that she did. I did this for my kids. I want all of Israel to learn this, about this little practical way in which you can guide your kids towards God, about writing them on the door frames of your house and on your gates and these commands that God gave to write them on your heart and to do that by practicing them out. And, you know, I think Jochebed was one of those that constantly demonstrated how to live faith in a godless culture, because Moses did, Aaron did, Miriam did, and the legacy of her kids shown that. And one of the things I want to challenge you on, we want to challenge you on, is to exemplify Jesus to your kids. It's one thing to say to your kids what you believe or what your household believes, but it's another thing to exemplify to your kids what you believe and to live it out. Your kids are watching. There's this old expression that says they might not hear much what you're saying, but they're definitely watching everything you're doing. And that's certainly true. They're watching everything we're doing. And while Jochebed trusted her life to God, it changed her family. And you can see it in her kids. She must have exemplified her daily dependence on God, because here's Moses, who daily was dependent on God, and who's Aaron, who says, I want to be a priest for God and direct people towards God. And here's Miriam, who says, I want to worship God, and I want others to join with me in worship. That's an incredible legacy. I know some of you as parents, if your kid came to you and said, hey, I want to be a minister, you'd gulp and be like, oh, shoot. You know, you'd be like, oh, I thought you were going to be an accountant, or I thought you were going to be an engineer. I thought you were going to go make some money doing something. And yet, I think anybody that had a kid go into ministry knows, oh, man, this makes my heart full, because they're pointing people to eternal direction, rather just to some temporal things. And Jochebed pointed her kids to have an eternal impact. And so she must have exemplified that as well, by not just what she said, but how she lived.
We all know that our kids are different. And women, if you are creatively and loving your lovingly raising your kids to know the Lord, you're going to be a hero. You're going to be in God's Hall of Fame just like Jochebed was. And Jochebed's children became who they were because they had a mother who was more committed to God than she was committed to them. Hmm. And I need to say that more for myself again. Because they had a mother who was more committed to God than they were to them. They saw that in her legacy and then in her daily life. And in 3 John chapter 4, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Hmm. And they will be much more likely to take that path when Moses' mom, like we should be filled with Spirit-led and God-governed lives.
Yeah, I recognize the room that some of us have had godly moms. They're good and godly. Some of us had good moms. They were good, but they weren't godly. Some of us had okay moms, and then some of us had some moms that we just were like, I don't know what the big deal is about today. I don't even know why God put this woman in my life, and she hasn't been much of a help to me. And I recognize the difficulty of the day, and I don't want to like exasperate it, but I want you to know that there's no perfect parents, just as there's no perfect children. And I'm not saying, you know, that you were the reason, you know, for maybe abuse in your life or hurt or hatred or meaningful words. That's not at all what I'm saying. I can't explain why it is that maybe you had a parent that didn't fulfill their purpose in life that God commissioned them to fulfill when it came to you. I don't know why that is. I do know that God can take your ashes and turn them into beauty. I do know that. I do know that you may not feel love, but God says you can love your enemy and you can pray for those who have persecuted you. And I just want you to walk out of here knowing that regardless of where your heart is for your mom, that as Christians, we can have a heart of redemption. We have a heart of restoration and a heart of forgiveness and mercy and grace that goes beyond anything our parents probably would have ever could have understood from us as we just kind of go further with our love for them. And if you're wanting to know what it's, I mean, I know there's perfect parents too, right? You got some perfect parents, and some of you guys have some kids right now that have wandered from the truth. You got some prodigal kids, and you're like, how does this happen, man? I thought that proverb said that if I raise them right, they're going to go right. And they made some choices that are just ungodly. They made some choices that don't look anything like Jesus. And now you're wondering how that can be, how kids could go wrong when their parents were right, when they were good and godly. I'll tell you how that is. It's the same way all of us have gone wrong with a perfect heavenly father. We've all rebelled against a heavenly father. And he's done nothing but bless us and love us and shown us love and mercy and grace and has done everything he can to provide for us, and yet we still rebel against him. And so I recognize that there are kids that can rebel against even godly parents, and I'm one of those kids that have rebelled against a godly heavenly father. And you know, maybe today you've experienced dysfunction in your family, but I'm telling you, as it depends on you, you can bring function back. You can learn to forgive. You can learn to show mercy and grace because of what Christ can do within you. And I don't want you to leave in here today going, woe is me, or, you know, I don't know what there is to celebrate. Man, we can celebrate that God's positioned us here in this family. We can celebrate that God can give us a heart of restoration. And as it depends on me, I'm going to love those in my world regardless of how they've treated me or what they've said to me. And I'm going to forgive because Christ Jesus has forgiven me. And I think that's one of the things we can walk away with today.
Yeah, we're going to make some mistakes, and our children are going to have their own detours. But God's big enough to make things right and to correct some of our mistakes and redeem our efforts. And when it comes to parenting, God is more concerned with the direction that we're going towards him than he is our perfection. And he specializes in rebuilding and restoring and redeeming us. So stay strong in your faith, moms, and know that God has called you by name. You are his design, just as Psalms 139 says, and you were made for this role that he's put you in. Have faith in that. And may your own stories and your own legacy be one just as Jochebed was.
Let's pray together. God, I pray for strength over these moms today, that you give them not only the courage to do what is before us, is seen in Jochebed, but Father, that you also give them the courage to stand for what is right, biblical, and true, even when their kids rebel or protest or fight or get mean or nasty. Father, that a mom will continue to care and love. And we know that we can do that as parents better because you're in our life and your spirit of grace and mercy has been extended to us. So may we be mindful of that grace, that mercy, and that forgiveness that you've shown so that we can be quick to do that for our kids and even be quick to do that for our parents that maybe didn't live up to all that they should have. And Lord, may we learn from our upbringing and may we get it right or at least better. And we ask that your spirit give us the strength to be parents to our children regardless of their age. And for those parents right now that are parenting adult children, grown children, and they feel like maybe it's too late, I pray that you just show them it's not, that it's a phone call away, a text away, a call away from making the steps to repair maybe what is broken and to say the words of encouragement and love that have been forgotten. And so help us to drop our pride today and help us to become more like you and less like ourselves. And we pray in Christ's name.